Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley, inviting you to open to the radical notion that in your life, whatever you perceive to be in your way is the way. In other words, your challenges, whether they be relationships, compulsions, finances, or illness, come with gifts embedded in them that can bring healing and allow you to experience the joy of being fully alive. Mary is a counselor, awakening mentor, inspirational speaker, and the author of What's in the Way is the Way, The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and The Magical Gift of Aliveness. What's in Your Way is the Way with Mary O'Malley is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way. I'm your host, Mary O'Malley, and we are exploring together the art of directly participating in your life. Not ideas about it, but the living experience. And with everything you long for, you know, a different body, more health, a bigger job, whatever, what you really long for is to have your mind, your body, and your heart all right here, right now. So we're talking today about the magic of inclusion. What do I mean by that? I want to tell you about a story that they did on CBS Sunday Morning a few weeks ago. And it was about a young man called Dennis Esteman. And he was an immigrant from Haiti. He had come here in first grade. And he spoke about the isolation, the sense of being an outsider, the sense of not belonging. And I've worked with people over 30 years, and my experience is that at some level, we all experience this very deep and painful feeling that we're alone, that we don't belong. This feeling was so painful for him when he got to high school. He created a club called We Dine Together. Their mission was to go out at the courtyard. Everybody ate in the courtyard at their high school and look for people that were eating alone and go over and connect and engage with them. And he said many wonderful relationships were created out of this that never would have happened if it hadn't been for the intention of this club. When I watched this story, I was just transfixed. I could feel my own heart swelling and filling up and spilling over with joy. I felt like somebody was finally addressing the isolation that at some level all of us feel. When they interviewed a young woman, I think her name was Allie, and she was a member of the club, and she cried while she was talking about this club, and she said that she had come to this high school from another high school where she had a lot of friends. And she said it was agony. It was really agony to be alone, to be invisible in this whole big high school. And so she said, I came from a school where I always had friends to one where I had nobody, with no one to sit with at lunch. This was one of the most excruciating parts of the day. And then one of the most joyous to have somebody actually come over and care and engage with you and listen to what you have to say. She said this truly made a difference. As she cried, tears came for me too. My memories from my childhood came flooding back, and I was so shy when I was young that not only lunch periods were excruciating, but when I was 10 years old, we moved, and I had to ride the bus to school, and I used to wake up with knots in my stomach because here I would have to stand with all these other children at the bus stop, and nobody engaged with me. I was too frozen. And then rarely did anybody sit with me on the bus. Can you feel the agony of that? And you may not have been that shy, but be honest with yourself. You have experienced that sense too, that sense of not belonging. As I was watching this show, I put my hand over my heart and let those agonizing feelings that were like rising from bubbles that had been trapped under ice, and they were rising within me. And what most of us do with these feelings is we try to get away from them. We try to get rid of them. And that's what I did when I was young. I had a childhood I wouldn't ever wish on anybody. And I just kept on stuffing my pain deep inside, including this pain of being the outsider, of not belonging. And so what I did, I started when I was 10, I overate and I stole my dad's candy, and I can remember sitting at a house, I don't even remember whose house it was, and I had a bag of Hershey's chocolate chips and I was just shoving them mouthful by mouthful. And when the overeating didn't keep these feelings at bay, when I went away to college, I started drinking, not just a drink here and there. I mean, I would just, oh, my God, I would just drink until I passed out. And then I also found street drugs. And all of that was trying to keep a lot of different pains, fear, the sense that I'm bad and wrong, you know, the sense of loneliness. But at the deepest place is this sense that I am the outsider. And then along with that feeling would come a sense of no way out, helpless, hopeless, despair. But as I sat watching this program, and my heart was just opening more and more there was this acknowledgement at this one school of the isolation that we all feel. But as I was listening to this program, I didn't need to banish these feelings anymore. I no longer needed to turn away from them. Instead, I was as inclusive with myself as those teenagers were inclusive with the other people at lunch. Yes, this has taken a while to learn how to turn towards myself rather than away. And there was so much resistance inside of me. There's so much resistance inside of all of us. But if we finally realize that they're not monster feelings inside of us, that, you know, I can't tell you how many people have told me that if they turn towards their sadness, they'll never stop crying. And so they stay as far away from their sadness as they can, which means contraction and resistance, which means that you are caught in the bubble of struggle, cut off from the joy of being alive. But these people, as they discovered the art of turning towards, discovered not only did they not cry forever, but the sad one inside of them felt really heard and seen. And so it calmed down. So you may not have sat alone at lunch, but I assure you, you do have these feelings. There's that fear, you know, of, you know, especially like speaking in front of a group that, you know, even if you have done it before, there is always that tightening before because the mind says, well, now I've got to really do this right or they're going to find out I'm not okay or I'm a fake or I'm less than what I project myself to be. I also shared this story with a friend of mine, and she said, oh, I recognize those feelings so much, and yet I never sat alone. I always had people I sat with, but I was always wanting, always trying to figure out how to sit with the cool kids. Can you feel the heartache of that? Can you feel how much struggle comes from this idea that's embedded inside of us when we're very young, that we're not okay as we are, and we need to be different than what we are? And if we get into the cool crowd, then that means we're okay. But even if you're one of the cool kids, if you're honest with yourself, there's an unsettledness, the fear of not being enough or maybe feeling they'll find out that you are a fake. And also, if you're one of the cool kids, it's so heart-closing because you see people not sitting with you as less than. And even though this pain of being separate by thinking I am cool, it may not be, you know, evident right away, how corrosive, how heart-closing this is. They also interviewed a young man that evidently had been a part of the football team and evidently a good enough player that, you know, not only did he get all the perks of a football team, but he also evidently had the possibility of getting a scholarship, and he had to make a choice because they both met after school. And he said he realized that by far it was much more important in his life to be a part of this club. Was this connecting and caring for other people a big part of your world when you were young? Probably not. I just can't imagine in that isolation of my junior high and my high school, you know, that a club like that would have happened. But something is happening in the human psyche. Inclusion is starting to make sense. You know, Barack Obama asked his girls once, I guess a number of times, but they would have this conversation and the girls would say, I just can't imagine why anybody would, you know, reject somebody by the color of their skin or their sexuality or even their religion, you know. And now Dennis has graduated from high school and he's traveling the United States and helping other high schools create a club such as this. So take a moment and just feel what happened to you when I was sharing this story with you. There was at least some of this lifting, this opening, this, oh yes, I mean, we respond to inclusion, whether it's our mate actually sits down and we've had a challenging day and they listen to us. They don't try to fix us or change us or, you know, give us advice. They just allow us to be there. And where this inclusion is the most important is inside of you. In fact, it is actually easier to learn the art of inclusion with other people than it is to try to learn it with ourselves. We are so used to compartmentalizing ourselves. We are so used to saying this part of me is okay and that part of me is not. So what we do is we crawl into a self-image that's always, always trying to, you know, remodel itself. And, you know, the word personality, the root word comes from persona, which means mask. And so we see, you know, in this example of like when I shared with my childhood, you probably have things arising from yours also that, that there's a huge parts of you that are not okay. And you're trying to put up a particular face to the world, but all the while you're sitting on powder kegs inside of you. You know what that's like. You know, you found your soulmate and, you know, you've been dating for 7 months, you know, and all of a sudden he doesn't return your calls. And you know, underneath that ice of our containment comes these bubbles of these feelings that we have tried to manage all our life. And then the next time he calls, you know, you are either passive aggressive or you yell at him and then the connection is broken. What would it be like to begin to be with you like those kids in that club were with people that were sitting alone? I assure you that with everything you long for in your life, that's what you long for more than anything. As the start of this, I talked about having the thing you really long for is having your mind, your body, and your heart all here at the same time. The only way that that can happen is if you become whole. You drop out of the world of struggle and you allow yourself to be as you are. And this is also beginning to move through our collective psyche. On this CBS Sunday morning program, they also interviewed a supermodel, and I can't remember her name. I think it was Ashley something or other. And she is a plus-size model. She is, you know how they say these plus-size models, and the only difference between them and the real models is that they aren't stick thin. Well, Ashley, we're going to call her Ashley. That may not be her name. But she is a plus size model, and oh my God, she is so gorgeous, and she is all these feminine curves. And she said she's been in the modeling industry for 17 years, and she got rejection after rejection after rejection. But what she did inside of her is she was inclusive. She said she would stand in front of the mirror, and I can't remember the thing she said, but it was honoring and respecting herself as she was. And she was just the cover photo on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. That's inclusion. For the whole time I was growing up, in fact, just till a few years ago, the only kind of woman that was okay for advertisements, the only kind of woman that our psyche said was okay was somebody that was so skinny, you know, they had to starve themselves. It's so unnatural. And it's just so joyous to see a woman with big, gorgeous curves celebrating herself as she is. So what we're talking about is including you. And I want you to know that everything that you have done in your life, especially the things that you have judged and put out of your heart, in those moments, you were doing absolutely the best that you knew how with the conditioning you have been given. Just let that in for a moment. Just let that in. That maybe with all the mistakes, the mistakes I created in my life, maybe I've never made a mistake. Maybe I was just a human being unfolding, a work in progress. And as I've talked to before, my main mentor, Stephen Levine, I just love this quote. He was 6 feet tall. So he said, if you take a step down the path of life, you go 2 feet. If you fall flat on your face, you go 6 feet down the path of life. He's basically saying that a part of our journey is to mess up. It is to screw up. It is to fall upon our face. And this becomes all the rich fertilizer for actually coming back to ourselves. So I want you to imagine being this inclusive with yourself, meeting yourself how those children met their friends. And a wonderful question to ask, to live in, to not answer, but to live in, is how can I be inclusive with every single part of me? I want to give you some ideas of what that would look like, because we have gone the opposite direction our whole lives. We have been taught to get as far away from ourselves as we can, especially the unlikable things. And the likable things we try to hold on and manipulate and get them better. But just imagine turning to yourself and what begins to happen as you begin to notice how tight you are. That we hold on for our dear life. We even hold on to the earth. You know, it's why so many people have feet problems. Because even when they're standing, they're gripping a hold of the earth. We have become human doings, not human beings. We have given our mind the task to be in charge of life, and of course it's dualistic, so it decides that this is not okay, but that's okay, and you got to get there. That's the endless game of struggle. One of the greatest gifts I was given by life was to be cracked open by life. Stephen would say this over and over again, may you be so lucky to have your heart torn wide open. Or may you be so lucky to come across something you can't control. Why is that? Why could he say something like that? Because the armoring around our heart is so strong, the armoring that we're not okay as we are, and we need to be different than what we are. That's why when I was watching this second story on CBS this morning, my heart was still so full, and it even opened up more. And so I want you to feel for a moment what it would be like to turn towards that the tension in your body begins to relax. Because you're not trying so hard anymore. And I invite you in this moment just to, focus on your out-breath. And coupling it with this sound, the vibration of the heart chakra, the great sound of letting go. And if you find your mind doesn't want to do that, or, you know, it's still very unsettled, on the next in-breath, tighten every single muscle you can find, and then very slowly on the out-breath, ah. why is this so powerful? Because this begins to loosen the grip of this struggle. It begins to quiet down the fight or flight mechanism in your mind, which is on most of the time, but it's just, you know, very, almost behind the scenes. You don't even notice it, partly because you haven't really relaxed into life for decades, probably. But this begins to calm, and this begins to quiet your mind enough that you begin to pay attention to what you are experiencing right now. And mostly, it's struggle. What would it be like to begin to include that scared one inside of you that's afraid, you know, it's going to be rejected? What would it be like to include the one that feels it's not enough and you desperately look for people that say to you, you're okay, so you finally feel enough? What would it be like if you met yourself as you are and became enough for you? What would happen if the part of you that feels so alone and so on the outside looking in, that for a moment, rather than reacting to it and running away or falling into it, which, oh my God, both of those are so painful, that for a moment, you include this feeling. You allow it to be here. You actually befriend the feeling. I assure you, these deep feelings that are like bubbles that have been trapped under ice will arise, and then they will eventually pop in their time, not in your time. Sometimes with these really deep feelings, like the feeling inside of me of no way out. You know, I used to describe that my childhood was like living in a garbage compactor, that the walls were always just coming in, and then they would stop or go out a little bit, but then they would come in and come in, and there was always that panic of being crushed by life. And it took a while on this journey. That was really, I was pretty far along in the journey. Before I could actually be inclusive with that feeling, that spell that I took on in my life. So usually we don't come to the magic of inclusion until we've been cracked open. Until then, the struggle of the mind is so seductive, it's so strong, that it's practically impossible for us to be here with ourselves and thus be with other people as they are too. And so there's a wonderful story that I heard from Jack Kornfield about a nun that went down to, I think it was Peru, and she was up in the high Andes and, you know, helping the people there. You know, that was the joy of her heart, you know, was to serve. And then she got extreme rheumatoid arthritis and she had to come back to the United States, and you know, she said, I was fighting, I was not including. I was fighting this illness, fighting her reactions about the illness. She would feel, you know, anger and resentment and self-pity and being discouraged. You know, that's what I call the no way out place. And by God, she just had to fight it, and she went to the Mayo Clinic and had surgery, and her hands were barely workable. And so she said that I began to enter into the world and the mystery of suffering. Remember, she's being cracked open by life. She saw that as she was able to embrace her pain, include her pain, and allow herself to be changed by it, she saw great healing, not in her hands, but in her being itself. So she went back to Peru, and she went to the lower altitude, and she worked with people that were in terrible poverty and pain. But she was with them in a whole new way, in inclusive. She saw how often when she was there before, she had rushed around trying to solve their problems without really seeing them. Her way of being in life completely changed. It became a ministry of walking together, a ministry of inclusion. You know, there was many people there that had physical disabilities, and so they would get together and they would share and they would explore the possibilities that would come from, rather than fighting what they were experiencing, including them. And she said their pain, their weaknesses, their deformities became the teachers of great mystery, the doorway into the healing balm of inclusion. She said they all found that they were much more sensitive to others, more touched, more able to listen, more moved by sensing and feeling rather than ideas. She said that the more that they found out they were open to other people's pain, the more they were open to the pain inside of them. And I think it's a full circle. The more you are open to the pain inside of you, the more you are open to the pain of others. So she said they would walk about as best they could because most of them were handicapped. And they would find people that were still caught in this place of exclusion. And she shared about a young boy called Juan, which was he was a polio victim, and he was 3 years old, and he was hidden by their family in a small mud brick home. And when they came across Juan, he was now 8 years old. So can you feel the agony of his life? The agony of exclusion. He was not okay as he was. He was so not okay, he needed to be hidden from sight. And believe you me, you know, that may be appalling to you, but you do the same thing to you. You hide from yourself and from others parts of you that you feel are unacceptable. His brother took them to the house one day, Juan's brother, and there he was with his twisted legs scooting around the small dirt patio on a piece of rubber, and his mother was suspicious, and they, you know, she didn't want them to stay, and her handicapped child meant that she was being punished. Oh my God, can you feel the agony of this? And yet, this is so deep within the human psyche. So they returned many times to visit Juan, and one time they found him alone. And his family with the rest of the town had gone to a religious procession. So, of course, he'd never seen one. So we borrowed a bicycle, put Juan on it, and joined the procession itself. It was his first time outside of his house, the first time he looked at people from a level higher than the ground. His first procession, and his parents were really annoyed, but their attitude changed gradually because they saw that how happy he was, and at the right time they raised the idea at the next town meeting if they could raise money and send Juan to Lima for physical rehab. And it was okayed, and off Juan went to the big city. And he had a long, hard struggle with a lot of pain and a lot of effort. But one day, he returned to the village, and he was using braces and a cane. It was very hard for him, but as he began to walk down the streets of his home, people came out of their houses. They appeared from all over. They were cheering. They were clapping, and they followed him all the way home. It was so wonderful. It was Juan's second procession. So just feel inside of you the joy of inclusion. Feel inside of you the spaciousness of inclusion, and begin to notice that mostly you are tight and small. You are not open and spacious. There's no reason to judge that. That's just how you've been conditioned. But the first time I noticed this is I was sitting on the couch with one of my children, you know, on my right side and one on my left side, and I had my arms around them, and we were watching Roadrunner cartoons, and I began to notice I was hardly breathing, especially when something was going to happen, you know, looked like it was going to happen to the Roadrunner. And I realized that I was sitting there watching television, and there was all this tension in my body, all that tension that came from trying to stuff down inside of me all of the unacceptable parts of me. And so it was then that I began to soften back into life. I began to notice that most of the time I held my breath. But as I began to allow life to put me in situations that brought up these trapped air bubbles under the ice of my rejection of myself as I am, you know, and they would come up, and Stephen Levine taught me how to meet them and meet them with my heart. You know, this isn't feeling feelings. This isn't therapy. This is consciousness work. It's just the ability to dip the finger of your attention into the river of your experience and say hello to whatever is there. And I assure you, you know, as I've shown people over the years how to turn towards and be with themselves, they discover not only is there nothing to be afraid of inside of themselves, because they saw that everything that had been held had been stuffed there by a child. And that all these feelings were very, very young and very scared and so longing for somebody to say hello. And they began to realize that there was absolutely nothing to be ashamed of inside of themselves. So, just imagine. Well, no. And allow right now a long, slow out-breath, because I assure you, you're probably at some level holding somewhere in your body. And just for this moment again, especially soften your belly. Oh, and know that you are on the journey back to an alive, open, trust-filled connection with yourself and with life. The more I began to really use my breath and my belly, because Stephen would talk about soft belly a lot, as my biofeedback mechanisms, or and even you can use your shoulders, or you can use your jaw, or you can use your stomach, just to see how tightly you hold on and resist life. And the more I did this, you know, for a number of years, I woke up one morning and my bed was underneath the window of my bedroom because I like to see the stars at night. And I was under the warm covers, and I was a single parent, but for that morning I didn't have to get right up. And I just relaxed into the bed. And the energy of aliveness, of joy, began to open up inside of me as all of my holding began to let go. And it was like coming home. I wasn't holding anywhere. And just waves of energy passed through me. Energy of I don't want to, I would put a word joy and love, but it was beyond even a word that this being alive, grounded, and open into this moment. And I stayed there for a long time. And then the mind started taking over again. And it was with great grief that I slipped back into the mind. And I hadn't, you know, what I realized then is that my journey was about learning how to see, get to know, and bring inclusion to all the parts of me that had been taught to be afraid of life, to resist life, to judge life, to try to make life be better or different than what it was. And here we fast forward a couple of decades, and even in my daily life, I am in contact with that field at some level. And of course, you know, my mind still, you know, reacts. You know, while you're in a body, your mind will still react. But that reaction tightens me. So I have become a tightness detective. And I know that anything that tightens me is coming from this conditioning, this conditioned self. Remember what Eckhart Tolle says? He calls it the mind made me. That our mind created a me in our head in the first few years of our life, and that me talks all day long. I was trying to remember who calls it the roommate. I think that's just a brilliant idea. I call it the storyteller because, oh my God, it tells stories all day long. But a roommate is another way that you can begin to get spaciousness from it. You can begin to relate to it rather than from it and discover more and more that you are not this conditioned self. You are the space it's happening in. So again, allow a long, slow out-breath. And if your mind is resistant to doing these, just notice that makes you tight. Resistance makes you tight. This work isn't about resisting resistance. It's giving resistance space to be there. It's the art of inclusion. So this is not only for your own healing. It really is for the healing of our planet. So I want you to see the Earth in your mind's eye again. Come sit on the moon, you know. I just love going up there because it's spacious. You can see life and your life itself from a much more spacious view. And just look at the Earth and just see how beautiful she is. She is creativity personified. And if you doubt that, look down at your feet at the moon. And, you know, it's creative in its own way. But look back at the Earth and just see all the colors and think of all the babies that are, you know, of all sorts of babies, animal babies, you know, even insect babies. Think of all the babies, of the human babies that are wide-eyed and butchy-tailed and really, truly, here for life. And just feel your heart expand and feel the spaciousness. In this moment, you're not trying to be anyplace else. You're not trying to do anything. You're just here and discovering the joy of inclusion. And now, zoom down. And zoom down right to the place where you are living right now. And just watch your life, you know, just hover above it and see that most of the time you're holding on. Most of the time you're resisting. No need to judge that. That's how you were trained. That's how you were conditioned to be. But see moments where you just open again. You know, it may have been when you first fell in love or somebody gave you a puppy or somebody really met you exactly as you are and maybe you cried, this joy of somebody including you, somebody meeting you as you are. And then see yourself in your life more and more using your life in a way to find the places where you hold on, where you tighten and resist, and be not dismayed if you discover that most of the time you're holding on. But that's okay. This is not a quick fix, what we're talking about. This is the journey home to grounded, spacious, openness, connection, dancing with your life as it is. But just imagine that more and more you see yourself, you know, I don't know, in an elevator, you know, going down it after a meeting at work and where you had to talk and your mind is starting to go, oh, you should have said that and you shouldn't have said that and all that. And just see how that tightens you. And then see in that elevator just, oh. And that inclusiveness says it was okay exactly as it was. One of the wonderful things about inclusion is that as you include yourself, and yes, it's the work of a lifetime. You know, I'm still in the process of including parts of me. You know, I've included them all at times, but some parts really need more and more inclusion. They're almost like foster children that have been rejected and abused, because I have rejected these parts of me and I have abused them and I have judged them, and it just takes them a while to trust again that you really want to be with them and it's safe for them to be here. They can express their world to you, and you can discover how to meet them in your heart. So this not only makes a difference inside of you, but it makes a difference in the world. Every year I send out a card to the people that I've worked with and the people that are on my different lists, and I came across the one I sent out last year, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's something like this. Be kind to the unkind parts of yourself. This will not only transform your life, but also the lives of your loved ones, and eventually every single person on this planet. The kindness of inclusion, the spaciousness of inclusion is one of the most powerful healers you'll ever know. We've been far away from it, but it's beginning to show up more. There's a young man that's inviting more and more high schools to be inclusive. There's a young woman that is so the opposite of what we thought was a perfect woman. And she is not only including herself, but she is transforming the lives of so many people, especially young women that see, oh, yes, I'm okay if I am not a size 2. So it's really happening in the human psyche, and it's happening inside of you because you are listening to this. The magic of inclusion allows us to extend warmth. And when I discovered how to do this with the parts inside of myself, it was just so wonderful. And the more I did that, the more I extended warmth to people that I meet. You know, not only people that work with me, but, you know, going on my shopping, you know, days that I have to go run all my errands, whether going to the vet to pick up some food and going to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription and going to the grocery store and going to the vegetable market. It is just so joyful. It's no longer a drag because it's all about connecting with people and bringing them the warmth of inclusion. And for many people, it's like the sunshine all of a sudden shined on them after a day of dealing with harried and irritated and overly busy people that had come to them for their services. And I feel, you know, that this inclusion will transform the world. And believe you me, there is not one person that doesn't deserve inclusion. Just like there's no part of you that doesn't deserve inclusion. You know, when I was with Stephen, you know, one time, you know, in the 80s, there were 600 people in the room, and he said, "Can you bring Hitler into your heart?" And there really was a collective, you know, tightening, whereas we had been opening, and you know, these times with him were so incredible. It was like sitting around a coffee table, you know, with your best friends, being real, and there were 600 people, you know, in the room. And so out of that openness came this contraction because the mind, the dualistic mind says, this is not okay. And, you know, whether it's the shape of our body or, you know, somebody that is, you know, overeating and has a, you know, a bigger body or whatever. And so he took us back until Hitler was a baby. And you could feel the inclusion come more and more. And he said, now, can you open your heart? And not everybody could. But what he said to everybody stuck with me. Those are the people that are most in need. And those are the people that we put most out of our hearts. But my experience is that the kindness, the spaciousness of inclusion can transform even the hardest of hearts. And even the most disliked parts of yourself. So let's go to the moon again and just see this beautiful planet. And see most people walking around with the clouds of struggle around their head. At some level, they're holding their breath. At some level, they have rejected parts of themselves and only said, I am acceptable here. And that is suffering. Now, see yourself again. And see the more that you just even contemplate the kindness of inclusion. See how the clouds around your head, the clouds that block your heart, are lifted. Not all the time. They come and go. But imagine moving around your world where you know there's no accident who is on the elevator with you, or in the waiting room at the doctor's office, or driving on the freeway alongside of you, or who's in your family. And just imagine more and more as you become whole, as you meet all of these disowned parts of yourself and bring them the healing of inclusion. Just imagine moving throughout your world. It's like being sunlight. And that sunlight can thin the clouds of all the people you meet. Some of the greatest joys I've had is to go to the register and pay for my goods at a store, and the clerk is grumpy, and to just feel this care for them. They are fellow human beings. We're all in this together. And there's so much that we have in common, much more than what we don't. And here is a fellow human being in front of me that is in deep contraction. And the joy of being able to feel warmth, to have it exude from me, and to watch how life through me invites them back into the joy of being alive. And you may say, you know, oh, well, that's just one experience. But I love to say, which drop of water was not important in making the oceans? So I invite you to just maybe even write the word inclusion and put it all around your house and in your wallet and in your car, or maybe re-listen to this show. So more and more, you let go of the language of reaction, resistance, contraction, and reaction. And most of that is subtle, but we all know the places when all of those flare up. And instead, begin to become aware of how much you are longing for the inclusion of yourself. That brings you back to life. And that, then, you become a healing presence in the world. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being willing to cultivate inclusion. Thank you for becoming a part of the healing of our planet. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to this edition of What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley. You can access Mary's offerings on her websites, maryomalley.com and whatsintheway.com. Join Mary next time to experience the peace and joy that is always with you on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.